This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Food prices are higher again. Only a few places grow most of the world's agricultural exports. One is Ukraine. You know the trouble there. We find another in the Great Plains of South America, including the famous Pampas. Wheat and soy crops in Argentina have been cut in half, and they are major exporters. This is the third year of drought in a region known for increasing rains. The 8 consecutive heat waves have been brutal. Obviously, global warming has struck again. Or has it? The New York Times said no. But what do the scientists say? We're joined by Dr. Paola Arias Gomez, a climate scientist and professor at the Environmental School at the University of Antioquia. She is the lead author in the new study, Vulnerability and High Temperatures Exacerbate Impacts of Ongoing Drought in Central South America. Arias Gomez was the first Colombian woman to be selected as an author for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, working on the latest sixth assessment report. She has published at least 100 papers, all peer-reviewed. From Medellin, Colombia, Paola Arias Gomez, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for the invitation.
It's good to have you here. So most of us are pretty shaky on geography. What do you include in southeastern South America?
Southeastern South America is a region in this continent that includes North and Central Argentina. It also includes Uruguay, Southern Brazil, Southern Paraguay. It is a region that is pretty important for agriculture in South America. It has a lot of harvest in soy and wheat, particularly. And also, it includes important cities like Buenos Aires and Montevideo. So it is a region highly populated with a pretty big importance on South American agriculture.
Well, actually, I would add they are important for global agriculture. People import animal feed and meat from Argentina, for example, all over the world. So summer is wrapping up on the Great Plains of the Andes. How is it going for people and farms there this year?
The last couple of years have been very difficult for people in southeastern South America, in particular because the region has been experiencing a drought. And also, we have been observing simultaneous heat waves during some parts of the summer. So it has created like a lot of impacts. For instance, national agriculture and exports, high soy prices and wildfires have been occurring during these 2 years. Just to give you a number, the annual harvest in wheat and soy have been reduced by half during the last 2 years, with deficits in exports like about 20-25%. Or for instance, in Uruguay, you have more than 70,000 people that have lack of access to potable water. So you can really see that this is something that is affecting people in the region. Economy, as you mentioned, also world economy. You can see the international price market of soy has been affected, also wheat. And the thing is that the most vulnerable people is the one that is most affected in this case in the region.
Scientists tend to study the heat separately from the drought, and we will talk more about that. But in an earlier report on the record December 2022 heat waves in southeastern South America, and you did this for World Weather Attribution as well, you found warming made that heat 60 times more likely to happen. How can scientists know that?
So what we do when we do this type of attribution studies is that we analyze observational data of the particular phenomenon that we are interested in. And we try to identify observer trends and look how different models, as much models as we can, simulate those trends. And also try to see, for instance, the probability of the phenomenon to occur under different warming scenarios. So in that case, we can really capture if the trend or the type of phenomenon that we are observing is something that will be more likely to be observed under a particular global warming threshold. So for instance, for this particular heat wave that you are mentioning, that we found that this heat wave is 60 times more likely to happen due to climate change. We also found that this heat wave had a return period of 1 in 20 years. And that a heat wave with a similar probability of occurrence will be about 1.4 degrees Celsius less hot without human influence. So these type of studies really help to understand how probable it is to have something similar to this when you have a human-induced climate change or when you don't have it.
With that link to heat known, why did you and a group of international scientists decide to question the role of climate change in the big drought there?
So that is something that is a signature, for instance, of climate change. When we have under warming conditions, then we see like an increasing compound risk that particularly droughts and heat waves are one of the most severe because you can have pretty, pretty big impacts. So when we are studying the heat waves, we ask, okay, what is the connection with this drought in Southeastern South America? At the beginning, we were thinking that maybe we would like to wait to have more information and more studies on the drought, but we decided to go first with the heat wave and then go with the drought study, and that's what we did.
A 2021 study led by Ariano Varulo Clark found summer rainfall in southeastern South America has increased by 27% in the period 1902 to 2019. Over that time, some crops more than doubled because of dependable rain, and the models predict it will get wetter still with more global warming. Why did that long trend of increasing rainfall break into this three-year drought?
So what you are mentioning is something that is actually very good assessed with high confidence by the IPCC most recent report. So this in South America is a region that is getting wetter during the summer, and in particular also with heavy precipitation events occurring with more frequency. However, there is something that we have to consider, and that is the fact that the only thing that affects climate is not climate change. We also have, for instance, variability. Climate variability is pretty important, and in particular, the occurrence of La Niña is something that can induce reductions of precipitation, and that is actually something that is happening right now. We are having three La Niña events, consecutive events. And for instance, in the case of Argentina, Paraguay, or this region where we are observing this drought, we are observing a deficit in rainfall. So that's why it's pretty important to consider that there is not only, the only player is not climate change. We also have other players. And in this case, the different modes of variability in the climate system are also playing a role.
You know, I plan to spend a few minutes looking into the factors for rainfall in this region, and a few hours later, I barely scratched the surface of deep digging. This is one of the most complex interactions of big-scale climate factors I've ever seen. Let's talk about a couple of them, including one unexpected to me, at least, the ozone hole over Antarctica. How does the ozone hole so far away affect farming in Argentina, Brazil, and Uruguay?
So that is a pretty important point. Ozone is a gas that is in the atmosphere, and most of the ozone, like about 90% of the atmospheric ozone, is in the stratosphere. This gas is very important because it is able to absorb ultraviolet radiation, and that is why you have a warmer stratosphere. So when you have a depletion of ozone, for instance, the ozone hole, then you can have a less warmer temperatures. So you have a like cooler stratosphere temperatures, and that creates changes in the atmospheric circulation. Particularly, there is something that is called the mid-latitude jet stream, and this jet stream moves, shifts forward toward the South Pole, and that is something that could allow, for instance, to have more cyclonic circulation in the region, and this increases precipitation in the region.
And then, as you mentioned, we have these long cycles of precipitation that can be measured, appearing in some decades and not others. What role are they playing in the current crisis?
So the different modes of variability, they have different time scales. For instance, when you have El Niño or La Niña, that is more in the interannual scale. But you can also have, for instance, variability in the Pacific or in the Atlantic that has a important role at a decadal or even interdecadal scales. For the case of this region in Southeastern South America, for instance, something that has been, let's say, helping to have increases in precipitation during summer, that is the trend that we were talking about, is that colder conditions could induce changes in the atmosphere that enhance uprising, rising motion in the region. But also the Pacific decadal variability is able to modulate El Niño and La Niña, and they particularly can play a role, in particular for the wetening trend that we are observing. For the current drought, we know that we are having three consecutive La Niña events, and that has played a pretty important role.
In 2017, I interviewed Norwegian scientist Douglas Scheel, and he and two Russian scientists offered a novel view of how great forests might make their own rain, or at least encourage it. Is deforestation a factor in the recent drought in Southeast South America?
The forests being thought as rain producers, and not only rain, but also water vapor producers, is something that is real. In particular, the Amazon forest is a water vapor a factory for South America. For the region of interest, Southeastern South America, about 20% of the water vapor that becomes rain in Southeastern South America comes from the Amazon. We have performed different studies understanding what happens when we have deforestation in the Amazon, what happens with transport of moisture to our northern South America, the region where I live, where is Colombia located. And we find that we can see reductions of atmospheric moisture transport. We haven't seen that because we haven't done the analysis for Southeastern South America, but I would think that this plays a role. In particular, 2020 was a year with the highest deforestation rates in the last decade in the Brazilian Amazon. And when you have more deforestation, then you have less evapotranspiration. You also have less moisture recycling in the region, and that could induce reductions of atmospheric moisture that is exported toward Southeastern South America. But that is something that we really need to take more into consideration.
That study I mentioned by Ariana Varulo-Clark found, quote, gross discrepancies between predictions by even the latest biggest climate models and what actually happens with rainfall in the southern part of South America. Why are the models unable to capture it?
Models still have a hard time simulating precipitation. Precipitation is a pretty complex process in nature in general, in the climate system. And these numerical models that we use to represent climate are not able to solve all the different processes that are involved in precipitation. Models have a better time, for instance, simulating atmospheric circulation, how the winds flow in the atmosphere. But for them, it's pretty difficult to, for instance, solve correctly the formation of clouds, for instance, or the microphysics of clouds. Also, the land-atmosphere interactions that occur in regions that have pretty different land uses. So that is something that for models is difficult to capture. Also, variability. We were talking, for instance, about El Niño, La Niña, or about the Atlantic decadal variability or the Pacific variability. That is something that is still have difficulties in these different models. So that's why it's very difficult to reproduce correctly precipitation, because precipitation is the result of the interplay between different factors.
This drought is really hitting hard. Argentine exports of food and animal food have plummeted just as the country hits 100% inflation and possible bankruptcy. People all over the world buy South American meat and soy products, including animal feed. These are hard times for Argentine farmers and the country. Dr. Arias Gomez, how could science, better science, help them?
I think one thing that will be important is to have more assertive communication. If we have more assertive communication, trying to communicate all these different factors that are involved is something that could be helpful. Also, by science-policy interaction. It's not only the fact of having better science, of having more publications, or having this diffusion of the different results. It's also how these different scientific research can help the policymakers. So I think there is a necessity to strengthen these science policy interactions. In the case of attribution studies, I found that is very, very helpful because it can also provide hints for adaptation. Not only tell us, okay, what is the cause of this particular phenomenon, but also what can we do, for instance, in terms of adaptation or even in terms of mitigation, when we know, for instance, that the cause is something like climate change that we could mitigate. And also it provides hints for forecasting. I think that is one of the main things how science could help, because if we understand better this type of dynamics, then we probably could understand what are the different warnings that we have previous to a drought, for instance, to a drought event that we could foresee. And in that case, it will be a good forecasting for the drought. And then we can take measures for adaptation and mitigation of the drought.
We should mention electricity for this whole part of the continent comes primarily from hydro dams. Have you heard of shortages of electricity due to this long-lasting drought?
Yes, that is something that has been documented in Argentina in particular. One thing is, of course, you have less water in the dams because you have a deficit rainfall, but also you have a lot of a higher demand of energy use. So in that case, you can have more people using energy or demanding energy at a certain time, and you also have less water. So yes, that is something that has been documented during this recent drought in the region.
On February 16th, 2023, the New York Times wrote about your new study with this headline: Scientists wondered if warming caused Argentina's drought. The answer, no. Is that a fair assessment of your results?
I think that's something that is pretty interesting when attributing in particular droughts, and this drought in southeastern South America, is that we need to acknowledge that there is an interplay of different drivers and different factors that are occurring at the same time. In particular, our attribution study shows that the rainfall deficits that have been occurring in the region during the last years are not explained by climate change, but the increases of temperature are something that are really well attributed to climate change. And these increases in extreme temperatures in particular is something that can exacerbate the impacts, but also the vulnerability to the drought. So that is something that we need to take into consideration. Sometimes we think in black and white. So it is climate change or it is climate variability, but never think that there is a lot of gray shades that we need to consider. And it's because these factors and many other factors, for instance, land use, are acting at the same time. Sometimes they are exacerbating the impacts of each other. Sometimes they even can offset the different impacts. So we need to consider always climate variability when we are trying to understand climate change, and in particular, when we are attributing climate change.
Yes, from the UK, your co-author Otto Friedrich told The Times, this attribution study shows, quote, not every bad thing that is happening now is happening because of climate change, end quote. How does it help to know what is and is not global warming?
I think that is very related to my previous answer, that we need to consider these interplays in future climate. In particular, climate variability is something that dominates particular precipitation changes during the near term, let's say. But in the longer term, then we start having the signal of human-induced climate change. So it is important to understand that these different things that we are observing in reality, for instance, the intensification of the water cycle or the increases of heat waves in a particular region, is something that connects human activity, but also connects this variability that is occurring in the climate.
This is a climate emergency. Find out more on the blog, ecoshock.org. No sign up, just the latest info, free for all. Ecoshock.org.
From Colombia, scientist Paula Arias Gomez with Alex Smith.
Let's talk about that heat for a minute. The National Meteorological Service of Argentina reported this Southern Hemisphere summer was the hottest November to January since 1961, and the heat got worse this February, breaking records in 27 cities. The capital, Buenos Aires, was cooking, even at night. Can we say this heat is likely due to global warming?
Yes, that is something that actually the sixth assessment report of the IPCC has shown with high confidence, that in southeastern South America, we are experiencing an increase in the frequency and intensity of hot extremes, in particular heat waves. And our previous study in world weather attribution actually attributed this late 2022 heat wave to human-induced climate change.
Paolo, from the scientist's point of view, can you talk about how extreme heat interacts with the drought? How do these two work together?
So when you have a drought that is occurring, you can have different types of droughts. So you can have, for instance, droughts that are due to rainfall deficit. So that is what we call meteorological drought. You can also have a drought where this precipitation deficit also is observed in soil moisture. So you have drier soils, and that is called agricultural and ecological droughts. And sometimes these droughts are so severe that you even see drier rivers, for instance, and that is called a hydrological drought. So when you have these drier conditions occurring during a drought, and you are also observing extreme temperatures and higher temperatures, then it increases the stress, the thermal stress, not only for crops, for instance, but also for humans. And that is something, for instance, that is a pretty important risk on their future conditions, because then it will represent a higher stress, for instance, for farmers, as we are observing now in Argentina. So that's why you need to consider not only like the independent events like a drought or a particular heat wave, but when both of them are occurring at the same time, you really need to consider that they are exacerbating each other. And as I mentioned before, this increase of compound events, when you have simultaneous events, for instance, heat waves and droughts, is something that is more likely to occur when the temperatures continue increasing.
And we presume the heat will only get worse in South America. Could that cancel the model predictions for increasing rainfall for that region? And why would rainfall increase?
Okay, so that is when you have to also consider that when you are observing an increasing trend in precipitation, it doesn't mean that it's increasing every year. You can have variability in that trend. And that's why I again mentioned the importance of climate variability. So in this case, it is true. It has been very well detected that since the 1950s, this region is experiencing an increasing trend in precipitation. And models show that this trend will continue under further global warming. However, you can have, for instance, a La Niña event occurring like is the case right now, and that can produce reductions of precipitation, in this case, for two consecutive years. That is the length of this drought at this moment. So that's why you have to consider that is not something that is monotonously increasing all the time, that you can have variability even within that trend.
Do you expect the Great Plains of southeastern South America will return to good rains and good farming? And when? Can we know?
The La Niña event is something that has been pretty important, a pretty important player reducing precipitation in the region. And when you see the El Niño Southern Oscillation, that is the name that this big phenomenon is called, ENSO, because of the acronyms. So the ENSO forecast suggests that we are in the transition to our neutral phase of ENSO. So it means that it will be expected to have an initial recovery in rainfall. Although it is pretty important to mention that ENSO, which is something that happens in the Pacific Ocean and that depends on the interaction between the ocean and the atmosphere, is pretty difficult to forecast at this moment of the year, at this time of the year. It is called the spring barrier for forecast in the Pacific. And it's because then you have like a decoupling between the atmosphere and the ocean. So it is pretty difficult to say at this moment in February, March, April, if we are going to have El Niño or La Niña in December this year. But we know the models are showing a like consistent behavior toward neutral phase of ENSO, and that would mean like a recovery, a partial recovery of precipitation.
And how about you, Paola? Is your home country of Colombia experiencing changes because of global warming?
Yes. That something that this report of the IPCC shows is that every region in the world is affected by climate change. It's affected in pretty different manners, and that is something that's why it's so difficult, because we cannot compare, for instance, southeastern South America with northwestern South America, where Colombia is located. In particularly in my region, in northeastern, northwestern South America, we are, of course, observing sea level rise. We have an increase in sea level in the Caribbean and the Pacific coast of Colombia. We also are observing glacier retreat. We have some of the last tropical glaciers in the world, and they are projected to disappear in the coming decades. Something that we are also observing is the intensification of a water cycle. In some regions, we are seeing increases in heavy precipitation. In other regions, for instance, like the Orinoco, which is like more savanna-like environment, we are observing drier conditions. And all these conditions, in particular for the mountain regions in Colombia, I don't know if you are aware, but in Colombia, the Andes mountains split into three branches. So we are having like a pretty, pretty complex topography. And because of that topography, we are observing, for instance, an increase in landslides, floods, debris flows. And that is associated with climate change, but also with land use, because we have a lot of urbanization, a lot of agriculture and cattle that is causing deforestation and many other aspects. And over that, you have to also consider that we are also affected by La Niña, for instance, in the case of the two most recent years. And actually, in our region, it's happening the opposite to what is happening in Argentina or in Uruguay. We are experiencing more precipitation than usual. And during these last weeks, we have having a recovery. But during January, for instance, we had pretty bad floods and landslides across the country. So you have a pretty different landscape, let's say a pretty different picture in northwestern South America in terms of the impacts of climate change.
And you worked on the latest IPCC report, and you've published about 100 peer-reviewed papers so far. Paola, what are you working on now?
So I am currently working more focused on extremes. Meteorological extremes. In particular, we are working on the attribution of the water cycle intensification in northern South America. Something that we are pretty interested in is, as I mentioned, Colombia has a region that is dominated by mountain range. And there are some regions where we are having, for instance, mesoscale convective systems that are huge storms that can cause a lot of impacts. So we are studying this type of systems.
From the Environmental School at the University of Antioquia in Medellin, Colombia, we've been speaking with Professor Paola Arriagomez. Find links to her new study on the great drought in the south of South America in my show blog at ecoshock.org. Paola, thank you so much for helping our listeners understand this.
Thanks a lot, Alice.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.